Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, and we're going to deal with the entire chapter, but we'll begin in the beginning and read a few verses. 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is of the house of Machir and the son of Amminadab in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amminadab from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered and said, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat the bread at my table continually." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you have given us this time to look to your word. And I pray, Father, that you would do a work within our own hearts as you unveil your great grace. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we met David. When we met David, David was just a poor shepherd boy. He's going to wear many hats in his life. In this world, you may find you do many things. David did many things. We know he was a shepherd. Then David was a giant slayer. Moving from that, a professional singer and instrumentalist for the king. He became the king's armor bearer. And if being an armor bearer wasn't enough, he turned into being the king's target as the king threw javelins at him. He was an honored soldier. With 3,000 soldiers looking for him, he became an avid spelunker, a bodyguard, a security guard. And, oh yes, he was king of Israel. The most important hat worn by David was the hat where he was a man after God's own heart. In seeking to follow God, in seeking to follow God's heart, there are times that you can look at David's life and you can see how God cares for us. And that's the case in this particular passage. I love this chapter. In seeking to follow God's heart, David demonstrates how much God cares for us. There is nowhere this shows more clearly than the 2 Samuel, the chapter of 2 Samuel 9. Here David's going to illustrate the grace of God. Now the term grace is very much misused in today's world, sometimes abused in today's world. Dr. Eugene Rollins wrote a book, "Grace is Not a Blue-Eyed Blonde." Most people will tell you that a gracious person is a kind person, an understanding person, and those things are certainly true. We think of a gracious person as being gentle, of knowing exactly the right things to say at the right time. In recent years, people have used the term grace to mean someone of great tolerance, someone who tolerates others no matter who they are, what they say, or what they've done, or what they do. But grace in its purity is a trait of Almighty God Himself. It's not about tolerance, it's about forgiveness. It's not about the one that gets grace, it's about the character of love from whom grace flows. Grace has been defined as God's riches at Christ's expense, and that is very appropriate. God gives us grace that we don't deserve. God gives us grace that we can't earn. God gives us grace that we could not hope for. When most people think of grace, our minds go to a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know, that song has found its way into almost every culture. And that song is proclaimed and sung by multitudes that have no idea that it talks of God. They like the thought of grace that we don't deserve coming and lifting us up, but they don't understand that that grace only comes from God Himself. I'm amazed at the song. That song that moves hearts. Biblical grace is tied to a personal relationship to God. It means unmerited favor. It means God moving power in your life, God touching your life, God caring for your life, God lifting you up, God doing for you what you could never do. And the actions of King David toward a poor lame man in this chapter tells us about grace. What God does for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Yes, ladies, if you're thinking about something to name your son, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth tells us of seeking grace in verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet that is left? Is there not one yet that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David is at the height of his rule. His nation is finally at peace. For the first time since he was a boy, David is living without the constant threat of someone trying to kill him. He's fulfilling the purpose God called him to. He's brought the nation of Israel together. They were divided, north and south, and now they are one. He reaches out from this moment of peace to find someone by all rights he should despise. He's looking for someone that he can care for that he should, by tradition, murder. You see, in David's day, all kings destroyed anyone that had anything to do with the prior king's rule. But that's not what's on David's heart. David has a heart to show grace to a member of Saul's household. He's not going to move as other kings moved. He's not going to move in hatred. He's not going to move in bitterness or in jealousy. David is going to move in grace. May I say that this is the day for those of us who name the name of Jesus to break with culture. This is the day for us not to go with the flow of how other people are living and how other people are treating others. This is the day for us to hold to God and to live the way God would have us live, no matter what the norms of our day may be. The norm, you see, is to ignore God. We are to come together and worship God. The norm is to hold grudges. We are to be forgiving. The norm is to be selfish. We are to care for others. The norm is to hate. We're to love. The norm is to only care for those who can benefit you. We're to reach out to everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done or what they've accomplished. David is not content simply to sit on his throne and be at peace. In fact, he's not at peace. He wants to do something for someone else. May I tell you, friend, that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your heart's desire should be to do something for someone else, to minister to someone else, to lift up someone else. When David was a younger man, he and Jonathan became very close friends. And in that bond that they made together, they made pledges to each other. Jonathan and David had a plan. There was a time that Jonathan's dad was trying to kill David, and Jonathan and David kind of planned together that if there was a time that David was indeed in jeopardy, that Jonathan would warn him to save his life. And that's exactly what took place. Jonathan was seeking to protect his friend. On that occasion, David made a promise to Jonathan that he would care for Jonathan's family. There would be the day that David would spare Saul's life in a cave, and we've spoken about that. And when Saul realized how close he came to death, he turned to David and he said, "David, you're going to be king, and when you're a king, don't hurt my family. Don't come against my children." And on that occasion, David made a promise. David made a pledge to Saul that he would not kill any of his family members. David is going to be a man of his word. May I tell you that you cannot be a person that is holy if you will not be a person that is honest. We need to stand by our word. Now, we need to be a people of God's word, yes. But you can't be a person of God's word if you can't be trusted to use truthful words of your own. David wanted to follow God's desires. He wanted to care for others, and he wanted to keep the promises that he had made. Praise the Lord, our God is going to keep his word. Our God will keep every word that he has given in his Bible. His grace will be there for us. His grace will care for all who will turn from their sins and turn to Jesus. David extends his grace because of another. David was looking for anyone from the house of Saul. It didn't matter who they were. Anybody that had that relationship, he wanted to care for. Verse 2 tells us that there was a servant of Saul's house named Ziba. So David sent after Ziba, and Ziba came, and he let David know that Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was living in Lodabar. David was willing to show grace to Mephibosheth, not because he had a funny name, not because Mephibosheth deserved anything. He wanted to do something for Mephibosheth because he was Jonathan's son. He wanted to do something for Mephibosheth out of love. In other words, he gave Mephibosheth grace that really belonged to Jonathan. He's going to care for Mephibosheth in a way that he would care for Jonathan, but Jonathan's not there to care for. Today, God offers grace, grace for salvation, grace for everyday life, not because of who you are or who I am, not because we deserve it, but because of Jesus. You can't earn God's grace, but Jesus did. All grace belongs to him. And when you enter a relationship with him, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, all grace that is his pours out on you. Now, David takes an action to bring grace to Mephibosheth. You know, David went hunting for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth certainly was not hunting for David. David looked to a young man that needed grace. David had a love in his heart. a love in his heart for Jonathan, a love in his heart even for Saul, and he wanted to share that love with somebody from Jonathan's family. So he went out, he searched, and he found Ziba. When Ziba brought news to David that there was a son of Jonathan still alive, David had nothing else that would concern him other than taking care of that young man, of bringing him into his family. He's told, well, the boy is lame. The boy can't walk freely. David didn't care. He didn't care about his physical condition. What he cared about was Mephibosheth needed love, needed care. Our Lord Jesus offers his grace to save your soul and my soul. There are no boundaries to his grace. He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care about what you've done, how bad you've been. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than your worst sin is bad. And his blood can cleanse the filthiest life. He doesn't care about your race. He doesn't care about your social standings. He doesn't care about your bank account. God's love extends to you no matter who you are. May I say, God loves everybody, and God's love is for everybody, and Jesus came and Jesus died for everybody. John 12:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Jesus came into this world seeking us. It's that seeking grace. It's grace that searches us out. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save those that are lost. So David sought Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was shocked. Today, Jesus is seeking you. He came looking for you. And now, even if you're his child, you are his child, you've come to him for salvation, but you know you're not living for God, and you've kind of wandered away from him, and you're not counting worship as close as you should, and you're not serving God the way you should, he still seeks you. That's seeking grace. He's seeking an opportunity to bless your life, to lift your life, to redeem your life, to use your life. Today, Jesus is seeking you that you might have God's best. That's true if you're lost. It's true if you're saved. Now, his seeking grace becomes a soothing grace. In verse 7, and David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore you to all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth's response to the call of the king was not one of really immediate joy. In fact, he was terrified. He was in a position to fear David. Mephibosheth did not have the easiest of lives. It started out okay, but it got bad real quick. You see, when he was born into the king's family. He was the grandson of the king. Day and night he was cared for. He had a nurse. He had a nanny that was with him around the clock. Everything was going great. Everything was fine until he was 5 years old. When he was five, the terrible news came that his father, Jonathan, had been killed in battle. His grandfather, the king, Saul, had been killed in battle. Everybody in the palace panicked at the thought. They knew that David would now come and kill everyone in the king's household. A nurse grabbed up Jonathan and wanting to care for him, and began to run to a place to hide him. And in her haste, she dropped him. Now, I know somebody's told you that they thought you were dropped on your head when you were young. Well, Mephibosheth was dropped, but he wasn't dropped on his head. He was dropped on his feet, and he landed in such a way that it damaged both his feet and his ankles, and they didn't heal correctly. And because of that fall, he was lame for the remainder of his life. He had other problems. How would you like to go through life with the name Mephibosheth? You know, it's worse than you know. The name Mephibosheth means one who scatters shame. He lived with the shame of a lost kingdom. He lived with the shame of not being able to fight to defend the throne. And then he was living in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar means barren, no pasture, no provision. And so he was living in a place where there was no hope. No wonder he developed low self-esteem. Low self-esteem, listen to what he says in verse 8. He bowed and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" The devil wants to destroy you, and often he'll attack you at your pride. He wants to pull you down. He wants to pull you from what God desires for you. You know, it's pride that causes one to think that they're better than they need to be or than they are. And it's pride that makes people think that they're less than they are. Mephibosheth feels that he is worthless. While you nor I deserve anything in this life, we're all lame because of our sin. We're all like Mephibosheth because we have gone against God's will. And even those of us that know the Lord have not walked with the Lord as we should. Lame. God in love reaches out to us in grace. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our forgiveness and our salvation. That's grace. It has often been said something is worth what somebody will pay for it. Now, if you're having a pity party, if you're thinking how terrible your life is, how low you are, that you are not worth anything, listen, I want you to know this. You are worth what someone will pay for you. And God paid Jesus. God was willing to go beyond for you. God values you. God loves you. So here's David, and his grace soothed the troubled heart of Mephibosheth. It is God's grace that can pick you up and meet your deepest needs, whatever they are. You just need to turn from sin, turn to God. Give God your all. Give God the good, the bad, and the ugly. Give it Him all. He loves you so much. It is soothing grace, and it is satisfying grace. God's grace can meet you at your point of need, whatever that need is. In verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame in both of his feet. David made sure that Mephibosheth had everything that he needed, that all of his needs were cared for morning, noon, and night. Mephibosheth had lost everything, but now David restores to him everything and beyond. He becomes the owner of all the property that King Saul possessed. All that he thought he lost was there for him. He had lost family, but now he's greeted as a family member of the king. He sits at the king's table. Oh, you may have eaten some fine meals. You know, at in a cruise ship, it seemed to be a big deal to get to the captain's table, to eat in the presence of the captain and to eat what the captain eats. Oh, how much better to be at the king's table. My friend, if you know Jesus, you sit with the King of Kings. You have his care. You have his provisions. David's grace brought satisfaction to Mephibosheth's life. You know, as a nobody in Lodabar, he had nothing. No hope for family, no hope for anything to leave his children. But with the king, he now had houses and lands. He now had supplies aplenty. He had lived in Lodabar where there was no pasture, no supply. Now he had the king's table and riches and supply. Listen, God can give you what you don't have. God can care for you where you need care. The satisfaction spreads. Certainly Mephibosheth is satisfied, but he's not the only one. Remember Ziba? Ziba is given control of Mephibosheth's lands and pastures. And, you know, Mephibosheth is at the king's table. He's eating at the king's table. He's fully supplied. Who's going to take care of harvesting his crops? Ziba. Who's going to benefit from the harvest of the crops? Ziba. You see, when God helps you, he helps those that are around you. When God blesses you, he blesses those that are around you. When God lifts you, you become better for those that are around you. And his grace shares and touches lives all around you. And if you don't believe that, ask Ziba. When you accept the grace of God, it won't stop in you. It will pour through you. And if you know Jesus, you got to share his grace. Do you know Jesus? If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, then you've never been touched by that grace. Today is the day you need to come to him. Today is the day you need to surrender to him. Allow him to forgive your sins, to save your soul. Today, let his grace work in your heart. If you're a believer and you've stepped away from the Lord, this is the day to get back to him, to surrender to him, to allow him to have all of you. His grace is sufficient for whatever you are facing. And he can soothe you with that grace, and he can satisfy you with that grace, because, my friend, he has saved you with that grace. It's time for us to serve him in that grace. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for those that do not know Jesus, for those that have never asked Jesus to come into their heart, that have never allowed God's grace to work in them, let this be the moment, this be the time when they ask you to forgive their sins, to come into their heart, to save their soul. Father, for believers that have stepped away, oh Lord, as they have turned their back on grace, let them understand grace still reaches out to them. And Father, I know your grace will still pick us up. Your grace will, Father, restore us, and your grace will use us. I pray, Father, that today believers will bow again before you, rededicate our lives, Father, and walk in your grace and share your grace with others. Thank you for all you will do by grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you need Jesus as your Savior, would you just come forward and say, I want Jesus? As a believer, if you need to rededicate your life, perhaps you'll just want to come and pray. You come as we sing.